Joining us on the line this morning is Charles Brandt. He has written a book. In fact, this book was written about 12 years ago, Craig. It's called I Heard You Paint Houses. This is about Frank the Irishman Sheeran and closing the case on Jimmy Hoffa. But here, as we approach another one of the anniversaries, the 41st anniversary of the disappearance of Teamster President James Hoffa, they've got the book out again, this time with more information in it. Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, just take us back before we get to the new stuff that's in the book. For people who have not familiar with the story of this, who was Frank Sheeran?
Frank Sheeran was a Huckleberry Finn kind of a guy who was a strict Catholic. His father had studied for the priesthood. His mother went to Mass every morning, and he went off to World War II. When he got back after serving 411 combat days, when the average was 80, he was a changed man. And he was discovered at a truck stop by the powerful mafia boss, Russell Bufalino, and recruited into that way of life. And he ended up being a hitman for Russell Bufalino. And when Jimmy Hoffa became president of the Teamsters and needed to coordinate his power, Jimmy Hoffa began to use his services. The expression, I heard you paint houses, refers to whacking a guy. The paint is the blood that spatters when you shoot someone. And those were the first words that Jimmy Hoffa, the labor leader, ever uttered to Frank the Irishman Sheeran. It was a job interview over the phone that Russell Bufalino had organized. And Hoffa said to Frank, I heard you paint houses. And Frank replied, I do my own carpentry work too, which was code for I get rid of the bodies. And over the years, Frank rose into the ranks of the Teamsters. He was actually a very dedicated union man, and he also rose high up into the Russell Bufalino organization. And when Hoffa disappeared, Frank the Irishman was a prime suspect of the FBI. In fact, the FBI actually solved the whodunit part of the crime. They issued a memo just a 3 or 4 months after Hoffa disappeared, and they nailed down those who were involved, and chief among them was Frank the Irishman. Even though the Irishman was a well-known Jimmy Hoffa supporter, he was quoted as saying that I'll be a Hoffa man till they pat my cheek with a shovel and steal my cufflinks, and he intended to be a Hoffa man, but the mafia had other plans for Frank Sheeran. And Frank was involved in the conspiracy to kill Hoffa. And that haunted his Irish conscience and his Catholic conscience the rest of his life. And that's who he was. And I ended up being his lawyer at one point and shaving 10 years off his jail sentence. He was very appreciative. We hung out together, and we hung out for close to 5 years. And it just so happens that I had written a book on interrogation called The Right to Remain Silent. And I taught interrogation to cops when I was homicide investigator and then chief deputy attorney general of Delaware. I also taught the related field of cross-examination to other trial lawyers. And so I had this number one suspect in all of a disappearance to myself for close to 5 years. And so when the book came out in 2004, it was basically a confessional. I had obtained serial confessions from Sheeran. Since then, those confessions have all been corroborated by independent evidence. And the new edition of the book, with 57 additional pages, is chock full of that evidence, as well as anecdotes that I couldn't tell when the book came out in 2004, because some very dangerous people were involved in those anecdotes. And they were still alive, and many have died, and some have become cooperating witnesses for the FBI. And so I was free to tell the stories now. And the first time I told them was in a meeting in 2009 with the director, Martin Scorsese, the star, Robert De Niro, and the screenwriter, Steve Zalian. It was a 4-hour meeting in New York. They wanted material that wasn't in the book. And I gave it to them because I was now free to do so. And that information now forms the basis of the current edition that we're out there promoting.
So,
So, Charlie, what a lot of people have wondered over the years, where is Jimmy Hoffa's body?
Well, rightly so, because he had disappeared, but his body was gone within an hour of his disappearance through the offices of the Bagnasco Funeral Parlor in Detroit. Hoffa was cremated.
When you were befriending Frank Sheeran, were you still kind of cautious of him? He was not maybe the man he was at that time, but tell me a little bit of your sort of feeling and sense of just being in a room with him and talking to him about these stories.
Well, that's a good question. I didn't reveal much of myself in the first version of the book. In fact, Robert De Niro, who will play Frank Sheeran in the movie, complained to me about that. Why didn't you put more of yourself in there, more of your interrogation techniques? And the reason was I didn't want to stand out as a target for those people in high places who might think I was a wise guy using my interrogation techniques on a man with a guilty conscience who was on in years. And so I kept myself out of it. But in the conclusion chapter, I demonstrate what it was like to be around a man like Frank Sheeran in many ways. To begin with, I didn't like him. But as I began to understand him more and understand the remorse that he truly felt, I came to really admire him. And I know that's strange, but he had had what we Catholics call a deathbed conversion. And that conversion was appealing and was true. And I didn't just have him on the witness stand for an afternoon. I had him to myself for 5 years. I traveled with him in mafia circles. I'd be sitting with him, and the mafia boss of Chicago would call him, Joey the Clown Lombardo. And, you know, I couldn't use Joey the Clown's name until he went to jail. And he's in jail now for life. But it was quite an experience.
You also have information in this book related to the assassination of JFK. What can you share with us in regards to Frank's connection?
I think it's pretty well established in the opinion of Bobby Kennedy Jr. He said that his father, Bobby Kennedy Sr., on the Charlie Rose Show, always believed that the mafia killed his brother Jack. Law school professor, Notre Dame professor G. Robert Blakey, who was the chief counsel to the House Select Committee on Assassinations, has said over and over again, including on television, that the mob killed John Kennedy and got away with it. Well, Frank told me his role in that killing of JFK. It was an inadvertent role. He was told by Russell to pick up rifles. He did, and to drop them off at an airstrip in Baltimore, he did, but he had no idea what was going on. He was too early in his years with the mafia for him to be cut in on things like that. He was just serving as a mule, picking up the rifles and bringing them. But then when he saw that Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, his mind began to whirl, because he knew that Jack Ruby was close to Sam Giancana, who was then the boss in Chicago, because Frank, with Hoffa, would sit down with Giancana and Jack Ruby at a restaurant in Chicago, and a stripper that Jack Ruby would bring for Giancana. But he still couldn't ask anyone. As he said to me, I don't have to tell you that there's nobody could ask about something like that. And then 11 years after the assassination, in a dispute between Russell Bufalino, a dispute that finally caused Hoffa's life, a dispute between Hoffa and Bufalino. They were talking freely in front of Frank, and Bufalino said to Hoffa, there are people higher up than me that feel you're not showing appreciation for Dallas. And then there was more talk about it in front of him. And so I put that information into the book, into when it first came out in 2004. never thinking that someday what Frank told me would be corroborated by FBI reports. But in 2008, pursuant to federal statute, more and more material began to be released to the public, and among them were FBI reports that totally corroborated Frank Sheeran in that regard. Another area where Frank was corroborated was in the area of the killing of Hoffa. Billy D'Elia, who became mob boss of the Bufalino family after Russell died, he had been the underboss, and he had been, he was Russell's nephew. He was also a guy who didn't like me, even a little bit, and I explained that in the new version of the book. In the old edition of the book, I didn't mention Billy D'Elia's name, just out of my concern for my own safety. But he ended up becoming a government witness, and the first question the FBI asked him was, "What happened to Hoffa?" And he told him to read my book. In fact, he had autographed a copy of the book to one of his henchmen, with the autograph that said, inscription that said, "Sometimes you can believe everything you read." So there's that corroboration. And then Sheeran admitted to me that he's the one who killed Crazy Joey Gallo in Umberto's Clam House in Manhattan, a very mythical mob hit where three Italians were blamed, but actually it was a giant 6'4" Irishman that did the killing. Well, after my book came out with the information that the Irishman did that hit, an editor for the New York Times, who was known to have been at Umberto's Clam House that night, known among her fellow journalists, another journalist showed her a photo of Frank Sheeran in my book, and she said, "Oh my God, it gives me chills. That's him. That's the killer." And she contacted me, and then I contacted the NYPD, a homicide detective, who was then still alive, Joe Coffey, a renowned detective, the author of a book called The Coffey Files. And he said, yeah, it was not three Italian gunmen. It was this guy, Frank Sheeran. And so it was just corroboration after corroboration began to come to my attention after the book came out. And that's all in the new book.
Charlie, you also mentioned the name Russell Bufalino several times, and as a sidebar, one quick sidebar here, apparently he had something to do with getting Al Martino in the Godfather movies. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's a great story. I wrote a book with the real Donnie Brasco, Joe Pistone, based on material that Joe couldn't use in the first book, and Joe was a friend of Al Martino's, the singer Johnny Fontaine in the movie The Godfather. Actually, Al was in all three movies of The Godfather. And Joe introduced me to Al, and Al and I became fast friends. And Al told me the story of how he got his part in The Godfather. He got it through his godfather, Russell Bufalino. There's a photograph in the book that Al gave me of Russell and Al in the new edition of the book. Russell and Al at a racetrack. So I told that story at a writer's conference. I was a speaker at the Sun Valley Writers Conference in Idaho. And I told the story about Al Martino getting his role through his godfather, Russell Bufalino, despite the fact that Francis Ford Coppola wanted a real actor and didn't want a singer. And a woman came up to me afterwards and introduced herself as Wanda Ruddy. She was, and I presume still is, the wife of Al Ruddy, who was the producer of The Godfather. And she said to me that you and Al should talk about Russell. And then she said, you know, Russell had final script approval of The Godfather. It kind of blew me away, but I didn't really blow me away because I knew how powerful he was. It's kind of hard for a younger generation to understand how powerful the Teamsters were in their day and how powerful Hoffa was and how powerful the Mafia was and how they controlled large segments of our economy. You know, we actually, my parents, you know, they paid taxes twice, once to the federal government and once to the Mafia to get a cut out of whatever was going on. I mean, they got a cut out of almost everything in New York City. yep. where I grew up.
And they can find out how that life was. The book, I Heard You Paint Houses, Frank the Irishman Sheeran, and Closing the Case on Jimmy Hoffa, soon to be a major motion picture. You mentioned The Godfather. You got Robert De Niro, Al Pacino slated for this. So it looks like it'll be making it to the screen with some heavy hitters there as well. And see how he'll portray that the larger-than-life man, the 6'4", you say, Frank Sheeran, in that movie. So we appreciate your time. If people want to find out, the book is out again in paperback with all sorts of new things added to it that Charles Brandt has put together. Charles, thanks for your time. Appreciate it this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate your questions.
Great. Have a good day. It is 9 o'clock at AM 930 WEOL.